Good morning. This is Roy Ulrich with another Daily Inspiration. What time is it? Maybe that sounds like a funny question to ask right off the bat in the morning. And but I want to provoke your thinking, not about exactly what time of the day it happens to be, but what the Bible talks about in terms of what time is it. Some folks are morning people and don't need an alarm clock. Other folks are night owls and you can hardly get them awake in the morning. Some folks need a cup of coffee to get them going for the day. Well, my wife and I tend to be morning folks. We usually don't sleep in. We get up early, early and get our day going. We seem to get a lot more done and we get our day off started off early in the morning. But again, I don't want to focus on the time of the day, but what time is it in terms of where are we in relation to Christ coming again? You know, when we're asleep, when we're sleeping at night, we're totally oblivious to what is happening around us. We're in another world, as we say sometimes. Someone who is asleep is out of touch with reality. How about when you wake up in the middle of the night? What is one of the first things you likely do? Probably look at the clock. Why? Well, we've been out of touch with reality, and we want to know what we'll do next based on what time it is, right? If you happen to get awake and it happens to be 2 o'clock in the morning and you don't need to get up till 4:30 or 5:30, you'll probably go back to bed and try to sleep again. If you get awake at 4:30 in the morning and your alarm clock's going to ring in 15 minutes or 30 minutes, you might just go back to bed and rest for a little bit, or you might choose to stay up. But that's all based on what time it is, right? Yes, that's right. Well, the Bible instructs us to be awake and to know what time it is. Again, we're not speaking here about the time of the day, but the time in light of Christ coming again. Paul, writing to the Romans in the 13th chapter, says this: "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." The verses I'd like to pull out here and look at carefully out of this chapter are that Paul says here in verse 11, "and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." What is he saying here? He's saying here that, listen, we know what time it is. It is time to wake up, time to be not sleeping. Our salvation, what salvation is he talking about? Our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again to receive his bride to himself. Paul is saying that time is very near. He says in the next verse, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." So the night is nearly over. The day, what day is he talking about? The day of the Lord, the day the Lord Jesus is coming again. The night is far spent. It's nearly gone. The day is at hand. It's just around the corner. And folks, Paul was telling us that 2,000 years ago. Here we are 2,000 years later. And if Paul said the night is far spent, the day is at hand, 2,000 years ago, think of how much closer it has to be today. So, amen. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Amen. The other apostles also alluded to the same thing as well, that time is far spent. The day of the Lord is at hand. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 24 that in the last days there will be wars, pestilences, earthquakes, and many signs just prior to the end of the world. Well, let's think about that a little bit. In the last days there will be wars. How many times can you think of in the last year, actually, even in the last few months, it seems like almost on a weekly basis there was some suicide bomber or some work of ISIS that was causing a major problem or a bombing or people being killed in various places around the world? It happened almost every week. We heard of on the news of different situations like that. And think about it, how many times that has taken place in the last years, few years. I mean, it just happens again and over and over and over again. Pestilences, another indication, another sign that Jesus said is going to take place in the last days. Pestilences, how many times can you think of sickness and disease, all manner of things taking place? I believe it was sometime in the last year that the Ebola virus broke out in Africa, and it spread very quickly. Many, many, many people lost their lives. The newest one is the Zika virus, I guess that's how you say it, carried by mosquitoes, and that's going around the world too. Scientists are concerned about it. Pestilences, they're happening again and again, various places all around the world. Earthquakes, another one. Jesus said that there's going to be an escalation of those things that are that in the last days. Well, 5 years ago, I did a little studying on that subject alone. What are the number of earthquakes that were greater than 6.99 on the Richter scale? And 6.99 earthquake is pretty severe. And I did some research on that, and I found, according to the USGS and the NEIC and a few other sources that documented earthquakes, in 1863 was when they began documenting them. In a 38-year span from 1863 to 1900, there were 12 earthquakes around the globe on the Earth that were greater than 6.99 on the Richter scale. The next 38-year span, from 1901 to 1938, there were 53, four times more than the last 38 years prior to that. Then in 1939 through 1976, another 38-year period, there were 71. Not quite as many, but still a higher percentage than the previous 38 years. Then in 1977, through September of 2010, a span of 34 years, there were 156 earthquakes around the globe that were greater than a 6.99 on the Richter scale. A tremendous escalation of earthquakes. What time is it? Jesus said, just prior to the end of the world, these things are going to escalate. We're going to see more and more of these things taking place. It's high time to wake out of our sleepiness, our slothfulness, our complacency. Do we know what time it is? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day? The day of the Lord, His return. Are you ready? Are you not ready? We need to be ready. We need to, as Paul said, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Perhaps you've had the unfortunate experience of waking up and looking at your clock and realizing you were supposed to be at work or almost at work, overslept, or you got awake and realized you should have been milking the cows an hour or two ago. That's not a good feeling. That's an awful feeling. And you can, I think most of us can identify with those feelings, with those emotions we've experienced. But think of the seriousness of missing out when the Lord Jesus returns for his bride and meeting him in the air and not being able to do that because we're not ready, because we haven't prepared our hearts. What time is it? It's high time to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So I just wanted to stimulate our thoughts, our minds, our thinking on that. What time is it? The Lord's return is very near. Let's be ready and watching and waiting for his return. Thank you, and the Lord bless your day.